Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station. Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com, NBC Sports, Twitter.com/ProFootballTalk.
Day by day,
day by day,
we get better and better.
We get better and better.
We get
BB. NFL Insider, Mike Florio.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We love our chance to talk to Mike Florio. Good morning, Michael. How are you?
Morning, doing great. Hey, how are you?
Well, I think we're kind of relieved that at least Kareem Hunt's off the market, so the Bears can't go ahead and sign him. And
I just wonder how much the Bears flirting with the idea of signing him got John Dorsey of the Browns to move when he did. Because, you know, if you wait long enough, someone else is going to make the decision for you, and I have a feeling that Dorsey decided he better jump before someone else did.
I think they had a lot to do with it, Mike. I mean, you can't ignore the fact that the Bears seemed to be closing in, and they were getting close. You had players talking about embracing him in the locker room. You had the coach introducing the idea. Even the chairman didn't rule it out. So if there was a favorite in that race, it felt like it was the Bears. So Dorsey did what he felt like he had to do. The question is, What do you expect now? I mean, is this something that you think that will Kareem Hunt help the Browns in 2019?
Well, we have to find out how much time he's going to miss. And remember, there are two incidents that the NFL is looking into. The one that has been the most notorious, the February 2018 hallway incident at the Cleveland Hotel where he shoves and then kicks a woman. But there was another incident involving an altercation with a male at somewhere in Ohio, and there was a report about it, and nothing ever went anywhere. And I don't think there was video, although when you assume there's no video, that's when video suddenly surfaces. But that's another one to keep an eye on, and the league could stack the two together. The league could suspend him for the whole year, and the league could decide we want to send a powerful message whenever there is video of this kind of thing. So I don't think the Browns have any inside information. I think they're making their best determination as to how much time he's going to miss. But if it is less than a full year, in theory, he'll be available for the offseason program, training camp, preseason. And if it's 6 games, 8 games, 4 games, 10 games, who knows? He goes away for the start of the regular season, then he comes back. So they have other running backs that they can use in the interim. This is more of a long-term play for the Browns, but the guy was the leading rusher in the NFL in 2017. John Dorsey drafted him in Kansas City right before the Chiefs fired Dorsey. So this one has made sense from the get-go. The one area where it doesn't make sense is the Browns really don't have the need. But if you end up getting a great player at a low price, I mean, that's what it's all about. And I wish somebody would just come out and admit, when they give one of these guys a second chance, the only reason he's getting a second chance is because he's really good at football. If he wasn't good, he wouldn't be getting a second chance. This isn't a team deciding to be charitable. This is a team deciding to try to win football games, and they give the guy the quote-unquote second chance because they think he's going to make them better as a football team. No one's ever put it that way. I think we all know that that's the fundamental standard that applies.
You know, it's interesting, Mike, because I think that we don't know what the, as you say, whether it's 10, 6, 4, 8, whatever it might be. Does he have any way of, I don't know, could he sue him if it was 10 or 16 or 12? Or, I mean, don't you look at the previous suspensions and try to go in harmony with that? And I get it, he's got more incidents, but what would be the, what could he do if they threw the book at him, so to speak?
At this point, that ship has sailed. Okay. And remember, Ezekiel Elliott had some initial success in the court system. The NFL ended up prevailing in that case. Elliott eventually dropped his appeal. Between the Tom Brady case from 2015-2016 and the Ezekiel Elliott case from 2017, it's now clear that the NFL has absolute power, absolute control. Whatever the commissioner decides, that's what goes. and you're just wasting time and money if you fight it. So as a practical matter, Hunt's just going to have to go along with this, whatever the number is, whenever the decision comes. And I think the Browns are banking on the decision coming before the start of the regular season. Dorsey said yesterday he expects it within the next couple of weeks, because even though he's on the commissioner exempt list, they don't have to pay the guy to not play until the regular season starts. If someone had claimed him on waivers back in November, like Washington did with Reuben Foster, you got to pay the guy when he's on the commissioner exempt list. So this really is a low-risk proposition for the Browns. Everybody loves them now in Cleveland. There's no one locally who is wagging a finger at the Browns for doing this, although it did make some national news last night. It's a time of year where you just keep your head low and your mouth shut for a couple of days, and everybody moves on to something else, and they end up getting a potentially great player.
Mike, another national story. Kyler Murray decides he's going to play in the NFL and forego a baseball career. What was the reaction like around the league from your perspective? And when you project him in next year's draft, in the 2019 draft, is he a top of the first round guy the way you're hearing it?
Well, I mean, here's the thing, and I know some people in the NFL who have watched film on him, and they're very impressed by what he can do. The problem is he is not big, and it's not just height. He is slight of stature. I interviewed Russell Wilson and Kyler Murray a couple of hours apart 12 days ago at the Super Bowl. There is a noticeable difference between Wilson and Murray. Murray is just not a big guy. He looks like one of my 15-year-old nephew's friends. I mean, he is just tiny. I'd be nervous about putting him out on a football field with NFL players until I could see that that elusiveness translates to the next level. It's one thing to run circles around West Virginia defensive backs. It's another thing to run circles around the Jets defensive backs. And that would be my concern. But apart from that, look, I wouldn't be ready to swallow the hook that this guy's definitely committed to football, because the A's aren't going away. And I think the A's are handling this so brilliantly. They are just there. They're there, and they're ready to try to pursue him, and they aren't constrained by a rookie wage scale. They can offer him more money than any NFL team would be able to offer him. My concern would be, if I put Kyler Murray's name on a draft card, is he going to put his name on a contract? And you're going to be taking that leap of faith. That's why it's important. Eric Burkhart's reportedly going to be his agent. I would want an agent that the NFL teams will trust. When he says he's going to sign a contract with you, you can take that to the bank, and he will sign the contract. Nobody wants to end up like the Buccaneers in 1986 when they drafted Bo Jackson first overall, and he went to play for the Kansas City Royals. Although I think if Murray's first overall, he's going to choose football. There's a question that emerges somewhere between 1 and 32 where maybe he says, you know what, I've changed my mind. I'm now 100% committed to baseball.
That's really interesting. I hadn't thought of that idea. It's funny because I think when we look at him, and I'm just curious, he is 20 pounds, I guess, lighter than Russell Wilson. Is he shorter than him too? Could you tell, Mike, from the just being, you know, kind of eyeballing the guy?
He's shorter, and he's just like the like, I don't know that the frame, you know, some people have that frame, broad shoulders, and you can see where the 20 pounds of muscle would go.
Right.
Murray doesn't have that frame. I mean, he'd be built like Popeye, I think, if you tried to put another 20 pounds on him to the point where he couldn't run, right? I mean, there's a point where it's going to infringe upon his athleticism if you start just adding muscle for the purposes of adding muscle and making him bigger than he is. And there's a photo of him with Dwayne Haskins and Tua Tagovailoa at the Heisman ceremony, right, and the photo ops and all that. And it's stunning how much smaller he is than Dwayne Haskins. Stunning. And that's going to be a real issue, and it's not just height. You know, we've crossed that bridge when it comes to height. Quarterbacks who are short can still play. But when you are small on top of being short, then that's when, you know, there's a durability issue that there's a lot of risk here. He may not play football after all if he's drafted too low or by a team he doesn't want to play for. He may be too small. There's a lot of risk, but there's a huge reward. You get a franchise quarterback for the next 15 years. And with so many great young quarterbacks in the NFL now, I figure someone's going to take that risk.
Mike, I think the Alliance American Football made a splash with good ratings on Saturday night. I think the quality of the play wasn't great, but it was good enough. I think it piqued some people's curiosity. What's the future of that league in relation to the NFL's relationship? How much interest would there be from the NFL standpoint to buy the league at one point and maybe make it a developmental league?
Well, I think one thing to keep in mind, the technology that they are trying to develop for real-time tracking of players, of the football, of everything, and they have an app where you can see like all the players moving. They want to eventually get to the point where there's no latency and where you can use that alignment of the players on an app where you can place bets. And I think that's one of the reasons why the AAF, even if it's a financially losing proposition for a few years, it's going to continue to exist because they want to perfect this technology. This gives them a way to do it without it happening in NFL games. You get it perfected. You get it ready to go. You put it online when there's gambling legalized in 35 states. And then this becomes the default technology that allows you to put a chip in shoulder pads and all these, you know, and you can see where everyone is, whatever prop bet you want to have per play, you can have reliable information, and it's all unfolding in real time. It's all unfolding on your, not just on your screen as a video, but also the pieces are moving on this app, and you can place your bets before the snap. That's what they're trying to work toward. Apart from that, yeah, the football quality isn't bad. They just need some star players. Whether it's Colin Kaepernick, whether it's Tim Tebow, and I talked to Steve Spurrier earlier today, the Orlando coach, he said that, you know, he hasn't even revisited the possibility of trying to convince Tebow to play football. But you need someone that's going to cause you to say, when is this team's game? What channel is it on? All right, I'm going to carve out 3 hours on Saturday night to watch that game.
Mike, just a couple scheduling notes with the Bears. They're apparently, usually you have the Super Bowl champion open the season, but apparently this year it could be the Bears and the Green Bay Packers on the Thursday before as the first game. Have you heard anything about that? And then the other thing, of course, is the Thanksgiving game and the idea that the Bears are going to be in Detroit yet again. And I thought that was pretty funny that who was it? Taylor Gabriel apparently just came out and said, "Easy W, don't worry." When told of that, oh boy.
Well, you know, they did Vikings Lions 2 years in a row on Thanksgiving, so it's not unprecedented. But as it relates to the Thursday night opener, look, you know, they only wake me up for the unimportant meetings at NBC, so I have no inside information, but I have no reason to doubt the reports I've seen that because it's the 100th season of the NFL, they're going to change it up, and the Patriots would host the Sunday night game, and the Bears and Packers apparently will be the Thursday night opening game in Chicago to start the 2019 season, the 100th season for the Bears and the 100th season for the NFL.
Wow. That's a moment. That'd be cool.
You could play that Urlacher commercial.
Again and again and again.
I just hope they don't do it. Remember the uniforms? Remember there was that awful Monday night game in 94? It was windy. Oh. It was cold. It was Halloween, I think. Oh. And they tried to do those old school uniforms with new school pads and helmets, and it just looked horrible. Remember that?
Yeah. Unless they're willing to go leather helmet, I don't want to see that.
Oh, gosh. Oh, man. That would be something. Wouldn't it be great if they could? I mean, maybe they're working on this. Make a real helmet that looks like a leather helmet.
That's a good idea. That would
throwback look.
Yeah,
yeah.
You still have to take off the face masks, though.
No.
Isn't it Ditka that said take off the face masks and then guys won't tackle head first? I don't know. Maybe for one game.
Could you
convince the NFLPA one game no face masks?
It'd be a lot of broken noses.
All right.
Thanks, Mike.
God bless. Thank
all right,
you.
See ya.
That's our guy, Mike Florio. Always a joy to talk to Mike.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.